This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Special extended version of Sports the Max tonight, taking you up to game time. Tip-off set for about 8:05, 7:30. We turn it over for the pregame show with Cal Soderquist. Yes, it's going to be fun. Mike Max here, and I'm live at the Skyway Studio in downtown Minneapolis at Target Center, where fans are starting to gather. If I could be so paint you a little bit of a picture here of what's going on. They're slowly trickling in, and I'm not sure exactly what time the gates actually open. I'm not sure if it's 6:30 or if it's 7 o'clock, an hour before. But I want to give you a piece of advice right off the top, because some of you are out there, you may be thinking, we'll stop in, we'll get a little dinner, we'll do this, we'll do that. I would recommend you get to the arena earlier rather than later. And I know that here in Minnesota, we tend to be a late arriving crowd. That's just the way that we're built. But the problem is, if you look at the layout, architecturally speaking, of Target Center, you come through a lobby. And then remember the cumbersome piece of it sometimes. When you have to go through a metal detector and everything else, it takes a little bit longer to get inside the building and to your seat. So we have seen on different occasions of late in the playoffs where people will have to wait outside, and they'll be out into the street and on the sidewalk, and they're missing the opening tip. So if you're out there, you're driving around, you're saying, hey, I'm going to get to the game just in time for the tip-off, I would advise you to see if you can come a little bit earlier. By the way, it's kind of fun to sit and watch the warm-ups too. One of the great things that I love about playoff basketball is you walk out, like just now, it's down by the arena, and it's the calm before the storm. The media is gathered in the perimeter. You know it's a big deal because you see there's more media and there's more people there, and they're right up against it, and they're doing their live shots. They're doing all those things. And all of a sudden, you get the sense that it's a big game. I got a special guest just stopped by for 1 minute.
Mike Max,
state championship basketball coach James Ware, going to the game tonight from Park Center High School. Is that your son with you?
That is. That's JJ. I'm fired up. We're fired up to be here tonight.
He's got the Ja Morant do, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They all do. It's going around.
Yeah. Well, you know, you won the state championship, and you've had, what, three players go on and play that have committed to Division I programs?
Yep. Yep. We've had three that have committed: Braden Carrington, Cody Pennebaker, and Leo Torbor. The other two have also committed, gotten full scholarships to Kirkwood Community College. So we're 5 for 5 in terms of our starters. Super proud of our guys. We got two other seniors that we got to take care of, find them homes, but we're super excited.
Okay, so explain to people when the Timberwolves are good and Timberwolves basketball and what that means. I'm not sure, James, that people understand how many kids are playing basketball right now. I'm not sure. You got to get tomorrow. The gyms will be filled throughout the metro.
Absolutely.
With AAU tournaments. Explain what the Timberwolves piece or part is in that.
Well, it's everything, because that's where it starts. It's the highest level, and everything kind of floats down from there. I couldn't, you know, forever, it's hard to get my son to come to a game. He can't wait. We're here 2 hours early, you know, to come to this game. So It's everything. It creates excitement, the energy. You know, people want to be excited for their hometown team. It really does mean everything.
Two players that I want to get your comment on before I let you go back to the real world, because McKinley Wright is basically in street clothes for this Braves with the Timberwolves. You played against him, you coached against him. Tyus Jones, obviously, at Apple Valley, that you know very well, and you know his brother, J.D. Let's start with McKinley Wright, because it's a great story, he to the Timberwolves.
Well, McKinley Wright, first of all, tough as nails, out of Champlin Park, has paid his dues everywhere he's been, has found a way to win everywhere he's been. Tad Boyle out of Colorado, literally, I mean, he got the guy a contract extension. I mean, you can't say enough about McKinley Wright, his intensity. He's all about winning. You know, just being a casual observer, I watched him on the bench. He's standing up every play with the Wolves. You know, he's just a guy who's waiting his chance, and I'm excited to see him get it. Tyus Jones, I mean, he's a pro's pro. I mean, he's a pro's pro. I mean, If you got a young basketball player, I mean, these are two guys you want to have them watch. Will they ever be as good as those two? Probably not. But just in terms of the way they carry themselves, the way they play, unselfish, outstanding representatives from our state.
You know, there's one other name that people have buried in the Memphis roster because he's mainly been in G League, but Terrell Terry from De La Salle has found a home with Memphis, at least for now as well.
Yeah, Tyrell's another one. Same thing. I mean, all these guys are guards that have come out of the state of Minnesota who have made a name for themselves by playing the right way. And so as Minnesotans, we got to be super, super fired up about that and super excited for them.
Celebrate it. Hey, go have fun with your son.
I am. We're gonna go watch Shoot Around. We can't wait.
Okay, you need a haircut, right, though, okay? James Ware, state championship coach, Park Center, coached against three of the people that are, you know, technically participants in this, and that's the way he is and the way that he rolls. But what he mentioned is so important and so true when you talk about the what the Timberwolves do for a community is they rise the tide, and so you get more kids playing basketball, and you see more kids at the gymnasiums this weekend because of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And tomorrow at those gymnasiums, and I'll be out watching some of them, there will be conversation about tonight's game. And that just feeds itself, and it feeds itself into the programs. I was at a tryout a couple of weeks ago just to observe. I wasn't trying out, and they expected 200 kids to show up for this open tryout, and they got 400. Those are the kind of numbers that you see when you have a lot of basketball and you're surrounded by basketball in your state, and certainly the Timberwolves right now playing their part, but it's part of the reason that they're a cut above right now. Now, I just saw Malik Beasley walk by here, by the way. He walked by the Skyway. He's going over to the practice facility to get some more shots in as opposed to shooting at Target Center because he can shoot by himself there. But we were at practice yesterday, and we asked him this question. We said, how do you feel about this team, and have you overcome a lot of adversity to get here? Here's what he said.
We've been through a lot of adversity, so, you know, I feel like we've been here before, so we're ready for tomorrow and then be game seven and then go to state. That's how we feel. We feel confident in this and we're ready to get it done.
When you've played this long into the series, do you worry they'll throw something at you that you haven't seen, or have you seen everything they throw at you?
I mean, we've pretty much seen everything, but it comes down to energy and effort, rebounding, 50-50 balls, things like that, little things.
A bit later in the show, I also paid a visit to the Memphis practice, and they were relaxed and confident. We had a chance to visit with some of the different players, and it was interesting. They've got a sense about themselves and a swagger, if you will. I mentioned this earlier, but Steven Adams, the center, their highest paid player, who was a focal point during the year and has been really put on the sidelines because he doesn't match up well with the Timberwolves, is not playing tonight because he tested positive and is in the protocol. So I think it's a 5-day window now that he can't play with this team, but he will not be a part of it tonight. He has not been a big part of this series, but it does matter. Now, what's the hot ticket in town, and how hot is the ticket for the night's game? When we come back, Mike Nowakowski from Ticket King breaks down Game 6 from a ticket standpoint, and the Minnesota Wild and the Minnesota Twins. What's hot? What's trending? What's next? Mike Nowakowski knows all. He'll join us next. We're live in the Skyway studio. It is the Timberwolves. 8 o'clock against the Memphis Grizzlies, Game 6, right here on WCCO. Welcome back. Target Center is alive and well. Mike Max joining you as the Minnesota Timberwolves prepare for Game 6. And they're not like Game 6 because it's an elimination game. And there's nothing like a game six if it's a home game, because that means it might be the last game of your season. And there's nothing like game six when it's a home game and an elimination game if you're in the business of selling tickets, because this is the equivalent of a game seven in some respects. Joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Mike Nowakowski from Ticket King. Mike, I know you and I have talked about this before. There's something magical about a Timberwolves playoff run. What is it? Do fans just come to life when the Timberwolves get to the playoffs? Or can you explain from a ticket demand standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, like we've talked about before, you know, there's a misconception that this is only a hockey town. It's a great hockey town, but it's also a great basketball town. And when the Wolves make it into the playoffs, people just come out of the woodwork. And, you know, ticket demand is off the chart. And, I don't know if you've been to any of the games, but the energy inside Target Center is unbelievable right now. It's like goosebump city.
Yeah, I have been. It has been. It's, you know, you just, after a while, because we've seen so little of this, you just sit back and enjoy it because you don't know, you know, when it will come again. How was it for the Wolves this year in terms of ticket demand? Did it build up once people decide? Is there a point where you can say, okay, people believe in this team? Can you see that and almost pinpoint it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the beginning of the season was really slow, you know, because the Timberwolves fans have been told for a lot of years in a row now that this is the year that they're going to turn the corner. So I think there was some skepticism at the beginning of the year. And then, you know, as the season progressed, and they were playing well, you know, people started to jump on the bandwagon. And I think what really benefited the ticket demand is they're a likable team. You know, there's some good characters. They have a little mojo, cockiness. And, you know, it's hard not to like watching them play basketball. So it was a very good Timberwolves season as far as tickets go.
All right, Michael, let's get to some prices. You always hear these prices floated around, especially at NBA games, probably more than anywhere else. What are we looking at front row, first section right now for tonight, game six?
There's some courtside seats in the first couple rows on the not actual wood seats, but you know, the Lexus Club access that are a couple thousand bucks each. But you know, one thing that's interesting with this game is you know, we have seats starting at like $50 right now.
Really?
And yeah, game one and game three, it was, you know, it was basically $100 to get in the door. So, you know, there's an excellent opportunity. It's very affordable at this point to go see a playoff game.
Most people assume that a game like this is sold out and they don't even try?
Yeah. And, you know, there's this thing called the internet. So, you know, people just spent a couple minutes, you know, dabbling around or going on TicketKingOnline.com. They would see that there are tickets available. And, you know, if I'm doing my job correctly as the pricer of Timberwolves tickets, we're never completely sold out. There was not one Timberwolves game this year where we actually sold out of all tickets, because we want to have tickets available for the last minute shoppers too.
So let's move. The Minnesota Wild will hit the playoff scene next week. What are we looking at there when they play the Blues?
It seems like people are very interested. You know, initially, you get a rush initially where people don't care what day the games are, because they haven't announced the game dates and times and stuff.
Yeah.
We don't know if we have home ice, but you get the initial rush from the fans that are going regardless of the date, regardless of the time. And then, you know, generally speaking, it kind of tails off until they announce the dates of the game. And then we get pounded with requests at that point. But it seems, it definitely seems like, you know, expectations are higher and people are more excited at this point than, you know, basically any other Wild playoff run. I think, you know, people feel like this team has a chance.
Which tells you there's a feeling, right? A feeling that for whatever reason, they believe in this team.
Yes. Absolutely.
The Minnesota Vikings made a controversial pick last night in the eyes of the fans, and obviously Lewis seen, you know, they traded down, all the things that went with it. Does a draft pick move the needle much in the ticket game, or only if it's a big name? How does that work?
It can only move the needle up. You know, if they were to have, you know, if there was some, you know, superstar who was going to be a Hall of Fame player, people thought, that they drafted, then you'd see a bump in the market. But, you know, it doesn't really affect it in a negative way. And, you know, at this point, we don't know the dates of the games. So, you know, we're not selling tickets at this point anyway. So, no, I don't think it really affects ticket demand negatively.
Yeah, because the Vikings are a standalone anyway. I mean, probably the least of your concerns is ticket demand for the Vikings, huh?
Yeah, I would say. You know, you can kind of count on it. But, you know, that being said, the Gopher hockey used to be something that we could count on, and we've really seen that drop.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, to answer your question, you know, that it we have not seen or been in a situation at the new stadium where Vikings ticket demand goes in the tank.
The Minnesota Twins are playing over on 102.9 as we speak, and of course they have quietly amassed, become the hottest team in the Major League Baseball, winning seven straight. Now, this isn't June or July or August. They're not in first place in June or July or August, but they're setting the stage. April looked like, because of weather, it was almost a wash. What happens if this team stays hot?
People would have to call us Winterville at that point, I guess.
Instead of Winterville, we'd be Winterville finally, huh?
Yeah, it feels like we live in Boston right now with all our winning teams.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as kids get out of school, there's an obvious bump in demand for Twins tickets and Saints tickets. If they're winning, baseball really picks up momentum. You know, and it really benefits us if, you know, they're at least in the hunt for a playoff spot when you get to late August and September. Because there's a reason for people to want to go and cheer the team on and in hopes of a playoff berth. Conversely, if they're out of it, then, you know, it's obviously very difficult to sell tickets when it's 43 and drizzly. So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't be more excited. It's fun to be in my profession in this city right now.
And what do the Minnesota United do for? Somebody said that they're sold out for the year. I know they're not on the secondary market, but are they? Is their season ticket base that big?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're at a point where they actually have a waiting list for season tickets. You know, and they do something, I guess, unique in that they do hold a certain amount of tickets back for the single game purchaser. You know, the people who don't want to commit. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a hot ticket, and, you know, the people who like it a lot.
Michael, appreciate it very much. We'll be in touch during the playoffs. I hope I see you out here tonight.
Are you going to be there?
I'll be there.
All right, I'll see you.
Okay, Mike Nowakowski from Ticket King, setting the temperature for what the appetite is in this town. We come back. Alan Horton breaks it down, play-by-play man of the Minnesota Timberwolves. You're listening to Sports to the Max, taking you up to the Timberwolves and Grizzlies Game 6. Skyway Studio, Mike Max, Sports to the Max, taking you up to Game 6. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies will commence here. The crowd is now starting to gather and get bigger almost by the minute. And the gates have opened, so they're able to work their way into the arena itself. Some will choose to dine here and make a night of it that way. Others are simply milling around, checking things out, maybe going for a walk in the immediate area and then coming back. But it's starting to grab that feel of an NBA high-profile playoff game. And Game 6, it can only be surpassed by Game 7, of course. And for the Timberwolves, this is an elimination game. Lose tonight and you head back. You don't head anywhere. You just go wherever you want to go, I guess, because the season is over. It is my obligation on WCCO Radio to bring you a weather forecast. And Paul Douglas, you're talking about it. It is not particularly encouraging. In fact, where you are right now, it may be drizzling. Tomorrow, Saturday, 90% chance of showers, 48 degrees for a low, 56 for a high. Sunday, 60% chance of showers, 42 degrees for a low, 50 degrees for a high. Monday, cloudy, we get up to 53 degrees. Tuesday, cloudy, we get up to 56 degrees. Wednesday, 37 for a low, 59 for a high. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we work our way into the 60s, which will be much more pleasant. Right now, it is drizzle in Minneapolis and 60 degrees. Before we move on to the Timberwolves, the second round commenced for the NFL draft, and the Minnesota Vikings made the deal yesterday that gave them the 34th overall pick. That was, in essence, what they got out of it. They moved down to 32 and then picked up a 34, so you thought, well, that would be defining tonight. And again, you get sucked into it a little bit. You say, is Malik Willis going to be the one? Are they going to go with the quarterback? What are they going to do? Well, they have done what they did last night. They've made another trade. Chris Tubbs, can you fill in the blanks on exactly they traded with Green Bay, and they gave them the 34th pick, and in return they got, what, a couple more second-rounders?
Yeah, the Vikings traded pick number 34 for Green Bay's 53 and 59. So the Vikings got a couple of second rounders from Green Bay, and the Packers consequently turned the 34 pick into Christian Watson, the wide receiver out of North Dakota State. So for the first time this draft, Green Bay goes out and gets a wide receiver.
So NDSU strikes again with a wide receiver this time. Of course, he played with Trey Lance when Lance was there, at least briefly. Lance only played the one game there late. But they got him, and I don't know, man. I'm just befuddled. I get it. They're stockpiling picks, but they must feel the depth of this draft is outstanding, because I think Viking Nation's kind of scratching their heads still, going, not quite sure what we got going here. Today, Lewis Seem met the media for the first time, and do we have that cut? Can we play that? He had an interesting press conference. He's a very confident young man. He's taken 32nd overall out of Georgia. He's done some different things there. Obviously, they have a great defense. They had five first-round picks. He was the fifth of the five, the last one taken in the first round. He played for Deion Sanders at one point in time, so he's got some history. I don't know that he was high on the depth charts, but he is a confident young man. And here's what he had to say today about him describing himself as a football player.
For one, I want to say I'm a problem solver. You know, the fact that I can do a whole lot of things. And coaches love that. You know, they don't want a one-trick pony. I can run. I got the size. I'm smart. You know, I can do the whole everything, the whole nine yard. So, you know, the team is not just going to put me on one place or the other. You know, they're going to allow me to, you know, play the game of my full potential.
There you go. We'll hear more from him in the coming days. Of course, the draft continues through the night. Joining me, play-by-play man extraordinaire, Alan Horton, who, of course, will call the game tonight on WCCO Radio. And, Alan, you had the Houston series a few years ago, but that really didn't take shape like this one has. What's it been like from your perspective, the ebb and flow of this, and really the excruciating games and stretches within the games that have been excruciating? What's it been like?
It's been incredible. I mean, it's really been. Are we working okay? Because I don't hear myself. But
okay. Do we hear both of us, Chris?
I've only got you, Maxie.
Okay. Let's try this again. Okay. Let's go. Mike
number
two. There we go.
Yeah, Mike number two is the one.
I've got Alan Horton with me. Alan, explain the excruciation of what we've seen so far in this series.
Well, it was painful talking and not hearing myself think, and then and not going over the air. So that was hard. That was excruciating. But no, Mike, it's been great. It has got a completely different feel than 2018 against Houston, because, you know, the way they fell into the playoffs at the end of the year, and Jimmy getting hurt, and the schisms already developing between players. It was a gentleman's sweep. There was a 50-point quarter here at Target Center. It was not a great way to end the season, but this is completely different. This is a team that has played so well since January, really ramping things up, fighting so hard for one of those top six seeds. But as I realize now, the top six, number six, Denver is out.
Was not a good draw.
No, it actually worked out this way. I mean, the play-in win was huge. It set all this up as possible. And so a long way of saying this has just been a fun ride. Really great series. I think really intense. It might not be the greatest basketball we've ever seen, but these are two evenly matched teams going back to the regular season. There's only about 8 points in the nine games that they've played separating each other. Over nine games, only 8 points separating the two, and Grizzlies have one more win than the Wolves do. It was 2-2 in the regular season. They're up 3-2 in the postseason here, and very likely, had there been two or three plays in game three or game five that would go a different way, the Wolves might be ahead, or they might have already closed out the Memphis Grizzlies.
Malik
so,
Beasley talked about that yesterday. Yeah. This thing should be over. Steven Adams is not playing tonight. He's in protocol. I was at the Memphis shoot-around today. Yeah. That was a big part of the discussion. He didn't make the trip, et cetera, et cetera. This has really been strange because he was a big factor during the season.
Absolutely.
And they played him one game, and they said, this matchup ain't working.
Yeah, but they did go back to it a couple more times, which even stunned me because in game I think it was four. They played him 5 minutes, 4 minutes, and Maxey got out. They got outscored by 5 points. They lost the game by one. I don't wish any health and safety protocols on anybody. But I think the Wolves don't catch a break there because Taylor Jenkins now cannot go to Steven Adams, even though he might be tempted. But your point is, this is a Memphis team that won 56 games. They were the second best team in the NBA, and they had to change their starting lineup, two, three games into the third game? They go to a different starting lineup. The fourth game, they use a different starting lineup from that. The Wolves have had to make them work.
I thought that the strategy here, assuming they came with Adams, would be he becomes your guy that can absorb four fouls, and you go out and try to beat the heck out of the Timberwolves, and you try to beat them down in the first half. And I thought that would be the role that he would play. I don't know that it's critical if he's here or not, but do you not see that as still part of the game plan, that you try to push the Wolves around, get them out of sync, take your chances? If you're making shots in your Memphis, you go, hey, we'll finish this in six.
Yeah, I think the mindset has changed a little bit because Steven Adams is such a big brute force. I mean, he doesn't play dirty or he doesn't play. He plays a lot like Peck did. I always felt like Peck could have been more forceful and towed that line a little bit more. But Steven Adams is the same way. They use their size effectively, but they're not dirty, and they're both great teammates. So I think it does change a little bit. You know, the fact that Jaren Jackson Jr., who is he's immensely talented. He's incredible. They locked him up to a long-term deal,
and he has
not been able to stay out of foul difficulty. He's fouled out the last two games. He has 17 fouls in the last 62 minutes he's played. That's an astounding rate, especially in the postseason.
And they feared him as much as anyone
and they
coming
should,
in because they said, this is the guy that changes games.
He does. And when he's on the floor, the Wolves are shooting about 40%. When he's off the floor, they shoot about 47%. So he has made that type of impact when he's on the floor, but he can't stay on the floor. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's worked out for them that they've played Brandon Clark almost, they played him a career-high number of minutes last game, about 37 minutes. He's been incredible. He's always been a Wolves killer going back last year, regular season. The last 12 games, he's just been a pogo stick, jumping up there, grabbing rebounds, and putting them back up and in. He's been incredible. So that's, while Adams has struggled, they've benefited because now he's out of the equation, and Jaren Jackson Jr. is staying in foul difficulty, gives Brandon Clark the opportunity.
Oh,
and so it's fascinating when you go into these series, too, Mike, how everything can change.
And this one in particular.
Yeah, well, the two losses that the Wolves
Jaren Jackson, I talked to this morning. We'll bring you that later in this program. But his father was a great player, of course, in the NBA. And he said, we were talking about the foul trouble. He said, I had a couple of dad talks, and he said he straightened me out. I know he got to play in the playoffs, but he's got a maturity about him. Tyus Jones has been what to you in this series?
Indispensable for Memphis. When he and Ja Morant on the floor, they're incredible. I would expect to see more minutes from Tyus tonight because Zaire Williams, who's been a part of the rotation, doubtful coming into this one. So I don't have the update on that yet. But if he's not available to go, that almost forces Taylor Jenkins' hands again in terms of, hey, I've got to play Tyus even more and more minutes with Tyus and Ja Morant in the backcourt, which have just been really good in this series. And he's exactly what Wolves fans remember from his tenure with the Timberwolves, just extremely solid. He'll knock down shots. He'll make the right play. I'm always stunned when he does turn the ball over because he's got so few of those. He led the league. He set an NBA record this year with assist to turnover ratio.
Just
over 7-1. I mean, just ridiculous
when
numbers.
When Morant was out, they didn't miss a beat.
And they didn't miss a beat, and that's largely due to Tyus Jones. He's been amazing.
And there might be a big free agent contract waiting for him.
He's a free agent. I see down in Dallas that Jalen Brunson is having a career year, and he happens to be a free agent. Somehow these things just kind of happen.
Brunson's father, former assistant coach here. Yep.
Absolutely.
Now, I watched Memphis work out today, and you see the difference, and they are respectful of this arena, probably not intimidated by it in general, was the thought that I got. But somebody told me if you think Target Center's loud, try Memphis. You've been there. What's it been like during the playoffs?
Oh, I think it's been equal. I mean, I don't think there's been an edge. I was just a little surprised in Game 5 to see hundreds of empty seats. They didn't pack that place.
What was that about? They never did fill them in. I thought maybe.
I don't think so. Because I even said that midway through the first quarter.
I heard you say that. And I thought, well, they're still coming. You know.
Yeah. And it's that's been a problem here too. It's tough in this day and age to go through all the things you have to go through to get into an arena, get everybody in safely, make sure everybody's checked. Every arena has that problem, especially at early start time. But midway through the first quarter, end of the first, there were still hundreds of empty seats. So, but that place does get loud. When you pack any NBA arena, it's going to be a similar type environment. It is just as loud as can possibly be. It makes your head hurt a little bit when you're trying to do your job and you feel like you've got to scream to be heard. It's not a great feeling.
Last question. Obviously, Chris Finch talked about this yesterday about playing selfish versus unselfish, particularly at the end of games. The simple question that you get from fans is, why doesn't he just tell them they have to set the screen, or you got to, we need three passes before, et cetera.
Something simple.
Can you explain that to us? Do you think that's been a focal point of their discussions, is we're going to start calling plays at the end of games if they're tight, and I don't want ISO, I want ball to move?
I think what happens is you get into a game, and especially in a loud environment where coaches literally cannot be heard from the bench. And if my memory serves, the Wolves were going away from their bench, so their offense was at the other end of the floor. Difficult to call out plays. And the Timberwolves are trying to burn clock. I mean, you see a lot of teams do this, right? They get to 5 minutes and they just can't wait for that clock. It's not running fast enough. It's not elapsing in time. And you end up burning some clock, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta make something happen.
8 seconds left, yep.
8 seconds, I gotta make something happen.
The guy's got the ball and he goes, okay, it's my turn,
And it's, but the Wolves have been a heavy isolation team in this series. Probably too heavy, especially late in games. It's easier said than done, but you almost have to disregard the clock. You have to keep playing and do all the things that you did up to that point to give you a double-digit lead. Keep doing those things. Almost forget about the clock while still playing smart, but not cautious. And that's it's tricky.
It's a really fine line. Alan, appreciate it very much. Keep up the great work. We'll be listening tonight.
Sounds good.
Alan Horton, voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He'll bring it to you tonight, as he does each and every game this season. We're thrilled to have him as part of that WCCO family by extension as well. When we come back, he is the longest tenured employee of the Minnesota Timberwolves. How does this resonate with him? Some perspective on the other side. Sports to the Max, taking up to the Timberwolves at WCCO. Back, Sports to the Max, live in the Skyway Studio, Minnesota Timberwolves, Target Center. Taking on Game 6 against the Memphis Grizzlies, joining this now longest tenured employee of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he made the mistake today of being in line with me when we were at the restaurant at Dave's in the Skyway, which is a wonderful place to get a lunch, I might add.
And actually, what did you have for lunch today?
I had the, they said, you want the regular, and I knew how many times, the grilled chicken with mushrooms only on it, chips at the side, and Jeff, you heard that off mic. Jeff asked me what I ate at the deli, and I said I had the chicken sandwich. And you had what?
I had the grilled cheese with bacon,
side
fries.
Heart be still, man.
And the Reese's peanut butter cup cookie.
You didn't do it.
Well, of course I did.
Because they said it right out there.
Absolutely.
Where you got to walk right
by. Absolutely.
Dave's not dumb.
It's money. It's money.
Rick Adelman used to be one of his great customers there. Jeff has come in here on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline. You've got perspective on this, Jeff. You work the Skyway every night that they have a playoff game in during the regular season games. What has the back half of this year in the playoffs been like for you?
Oh, it's been so fun. And I mean, look at this. This is great.
Yeah, isn't it fun?
There's a bounce.
Everybody's smiling, too.
I know. A bounce at everybody's step. Look at all the gear coming through.
It's Timberwolves gear. Not Laker gear.
No. And it's been so fun with that. I think we've talked about it before, Maxie, where previously we had a little bit more late-arriving crowd. We're getting people to come a little earlier. 8 o'clock tip tonight, so we're encouraging people, keep coming. We had a nice crush right away when we opened the doors at 6:30, so that was really fun. And again, look at the gear. This is great. A little bounce on the step, and you're in the Skyway.
Now, you and I have been around long enough. We remember the first playoff in 1997 when Jesse Ventura rappelled down from the ceiling. You and I talked about this a few weeks ago on the radio. I suggested to you that you reach out at least to Gabe Stevenson and see if he could do something, maybe give a flex to Memphis. Now, I know that's easier said than done. Any overtures made there, or is he on the circuit?
I know we have a lot of celebrities coming to the game tonight, so perhaps maybe there's some Vikings that will do something. Who knows? That's a great thought. And when you go down memory lane, you remember Jesse rappelling out of the ceiling and going over to Barkley and Pippen and Drexler and saying, you want want a piece of these lateral deltoids. I mean, it was great. It was absolutely fantastic. So that's a really good suggestion.
I also understand Latrell Sprewell is in the house tonight.
Spree's coming tonight, so it'll be good to see Spree, catch up with him a little bit. You know, John Thomas has put together a great alumni program for us, and obviously last game we had Wally and Troy Hudson here, and the place went nuts. They got a huge pop when they got introduced. So
and by really the way, fun. That means a lot to them.
Oh, it does.
You know,
it does.
That's not just tokenism when they wave to the crowd. They are genuinely moved when people remember them.
For sure. And John has done a great job bringing these alumni players back. You know, we've had Googs come back. We've had Spree come back. Wally come back. Trey Hudson, Trenton Hassel, Terry Porter. And so I think – and Marco Yarich was here the other day, too. That was really fun to see Marco. I hadn't seen him for a couple of years since he last played with us. And so that's been really fun for us, the staff. I think really for the fans, too, that they get a chance to get that nostalgic look back and trip down memory lane with the guys.
Jeff Municki, our guest, longest-tenured Minnesota Viking employee. Trenton Hassel was one of the nicest guys that ever came through here.
Oh, TS was great. Yeah, and obviously a huge cog to that 03, 04.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, the one that you forget, right, that he started. Yep.
Yeah, but just a defensive stalwart, just great. And so it's fun to see these guys, and hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to Spree a little bit tonight.
Yeah, for sure. So when you get in these situations and you go game by game and you live and die with the Timberwolves like this, you don't know how long you're going to have to work into the spring. What is that like for the organization to go through? Particularly, a lot of the people that you work with inside this organization have not really had a chance to taste playoff basketball.
Yeah, you know, me being the wily veteran, you know, some of the young bucks around the office will say, "Well, what was that like in 03-04?" And I said, "You can't believe what the atmosphere is like. The playoff intensity inside the building, coming downtown, people coming in the building howling like wolves, wearing the gear, face paint." And I think they're seeing a really good perspective of what that's like. And so I think people are really just having such a good time. And it's one of those things where you live and die with the team. But I think we as staff members, too, try to keep an even keel and realize never too high, never too low. You know, what we can control on the business side is how we treat our fans. And we'll let the players and the coaches take care of business and making shots and making defensive stops. And we'll try to take care of the rest.
From time to time, you will also incorporate in a head coach or a general manager to help you with the fan base or to, you know, to send the right message. I understand that Chris Finch and Sasha Gupta have been outstanding that way.
Oh, fantastic. And we just have such a great staff. And I'll give you a great example. So every year we get involved with the High School Coaches Association
in
their fall conference. And so we went down to Coach Finch this year and said, "Hey, you know, we do this every year." He goes, "What do you need me?"
Yeah, Ron Larson's the conduit. Yep.
Larson, Critch, and the whole crew. And so he just said, "Well, help." I said initially, I said, "Coach, would you be able to spare half an hour?" He goes, "No, half an hour is not long enough for these high school coaches." Yeah. He said, "How about two?" And so I said, "Coach, that's a lot. That's the day before the game." He goes, I'm there for 2 hours. He walks down to the Hyatt, and the conference and his message was awesome.
What was it? What was the message?
He just talked a little bit about culture, a little bit about, you know, here's how I handle things within our team. Here's how I handle things with our coaches. Here's the different perspective. I've been where you've sat before. I've been a high school coach. I've been a college coach. I've been a coach over in Europe, and I've now been an NBA coach. You know, it really, basketball is basketball. You know, the plays are the plays, but it's really handling those personalities, and he gave some really good insight there. And then what was really cool was after he's done, he said, "Boy, I'll tell you what, guys." He said, "I know you guys are going to have a break here. I'm just going to walk up the street to Brits and have a couple bumps here. Anybody that wants to join me, come on up." So we had about 50 high school coaches
join
him. It was great.
That's grassroots. That's the way Jerry killed it. Those guys don't forget that either. They will keep supporting
you. Sure.
Munes, you got to get back out there and be the bouncer.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Have a great time tonight. Always good to visit with you.
For sure.
And hopefully we'll do it again for the Golden State Series. Right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. All right.
Jeff Municki, the one and only. The Minnesota Vikings select Andrew Booth Jr., cornerback from Clemson in the second round. More on that live from Target Center next. Welcome back. Sports to the Max live from the Skyways studio in downtown Minneapolis Target Center. Game 6, the Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies, to commence a little after 8 o'clock. Joining us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, you hear him every Wolves night, Cal Soderquist, as he prepares the pregame, the halftime, and the postgame show and beyond. Nice enough to give us a little time here. Nice enough to get this booth. This is a nice booth, Cal.
It's a lot of fun. You get to see people coming in. You can kind of feel the...
You do. You feel the energy. You see where they're at. You see what they're wearing. You know?
And if it's you in here, you can just snag a guest or two if you need to. You can act on your...
James Ware came walking by. He made the mistake earlier tonight, the state championship coach, and before you know it, he was in here for a studio interview. Who was that just walked by?
I believe that was someone from our front office. I blank on the name.
Okay. You know who came by here earlier in the Skyway? Was Malik Beasley, because, as you know, Cal, they will walk over because they don't want to shoot on that main court because everybody's around and there's people. So they go over to the private studio, so to speak, the Mayo Clinic Square, and they'll get another, whatever it is, 15, 20 minutes of shooting in, but they come back by the Skyway because it's the easiest way. Now, normally, you know, unencumbered, but in a playoff atmosphere, the crowd's going crazy. They're trying to stop Malik. Anthony Edwards stopped to talk to him the other night. There's been some fun stuff organically that's grown out of the playoffs.
You almost need an escort now to get from Mayo yes. Clinic Square to here, and certainly you'd think maybe as we get to May this weekend that they could walk outside, but that's maybe not the case yet. But, yeah, they have their routines, whether it's getting more shots up across the street or – you know, they've got the gym to work out in, the weight room, and maybe some guys even do either a hot tub or a hot tub or a cold tub.
Yeah, they got their routine, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And they can go over there because they have the card key. They can go shoot baskets there anytime they want. And I know this, you know, we don't see this, but you hear the stories of, you know, a guy on his off day and at 10 o'clock at night, you'll find him in there, especially if he's in a shooting slump or something like that. A lot of, you know, they have off days, but there's a lot put into this stuff that we don't see.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the cool thing about that facility that's still fairly new when you compare it to all the 29 other teams and what they have as far as practice facilities. And, yeah, they get a key card 24 hours a day. I think there's, you know, chefs in there basically on call to get you if you need a late-night snack. But, yeah, guys like Anthony Edwards, and you think back to some of the past teams, Zach LaVine, they were gym rats, and they would get in there whenever they could and however they could. And that's the same with Ant and a lot of guys on this team, too.
Cal, as you go through, give me some inside basketball here. During the course of a game, all of a sudden, you will see, or you will hear when you guys pop on, highlights from across the league. And I'm saying to myself, how on earth do you monitor all of that? How does this work? And I'm sure other people have had that same thought. And then you've got to keep an eye on the Timberwolves game. How does that work on game night?
It takes a village. And it's something that, you know, this Wolves radio team had been doing since I joined as an intern under John Folkey. And he really was committed to wanting to inform our listeners not only about the game that was going on, you know, between the Wolves and an opponent, but anything else big going on around the league. And that could be, as you know, a big scoring night from someone going for 60-plus. It could be a buzzer beater. It could be a triple overtime game. So we actually have we have interns and associates and part-time guys that will monitor those games and cut up the highlights from those games just like we do for ours.
So they just straight out, their assignment is to listen to that game?
Yes, and they kind of bounce around too. And, you know, if a game becomes a blowout, they'll pick a different one. Or if they look and see that Devin Booker has 40 points through three quarters, they'll jump onto that. And then I'm in a sense, I'm flying blind. I'm focused on our game and writing down notes about our game. But when it gets to that break, I'll turn around and ask, all right, where are we going for this update?
And they'll simply hand you, here's the intro to the clip. Huh?
Yes, and Chris Atterbury is great at it with the Twins.
Yeah.
He does a great job with that, and I've been able to listen to him and kind of watch him. And, yeah, I think it's important that listeners can still, you know, get the pulse of the rest of the league. And let's face it, there were some lean Wolves seasons where you'd rather hear highlights from some of the other games taking place.
But
certainly not the case this year and with this team and with this playoff run. So we have a good balance.
What's it been like for you in the organization this year to feel not just the playoff? Certainly that is the crescendo, but there's a lot that leads up to that as you go down February, March, and into April.
Yeah, you could kind of feel it. And, you know, we didn't know what to expect entering this season, certainly. I'm sure the team and the coaching staff and the players had internal expectations. But whether you looked at, you know, the over-under out west in Vegas, not a lot of people expected this team to be a seventh seed in the Western Conference and to get some of the, you know, improvements that they did from guys like Anthony Edwards or even Jaden McDaniels. Pat Beverly, I think, has exceeded all expectations in terms of his acquisition and kind of the impact he had on this team leadership-wise and locker room-wise. But just to be around the team every day, you know, at shoot-arounds and practices, and I don't get to travel with the team, but I hear from Allen quite a bit, and there's just a genuine chemistry. And I think Pat Beverly brought it about. I think guys have really bought in. They enjoy time with each other. They have their text threads and group threads where they love talking basketball outside of the practice facility or outside of the locker room. So I think they've bonded in that sense, and I think they all just kind of have that shared mentality that they all are kind of similar guys in the sense, you know, that they love, they have a mentality and a sort of a, I guess you could say, a swagger to them on the floor. We've seen them get into it with teams at times, but they all feed off each other. And I think Pat Bev sets the tone. Anthony Edwards follows him kind of, and everyone just kind of lines up after those guys. And it's been a lot of fun to watch and cover this team every single day.
Well, I know you got to get down to your studio, prepare for the pregame show. Give us a pregame to the pregame. What do we get to look forward to?
Well, as we know, the Wolves are trying to bounce back after that loss, Game 5. And some of the big reasons why Minnesota came up short, way too much Grizzly offensive rebounding. The Wolves got beat up on the offensive glass. So Allen will check in with assistant coach Mike Anori, who kind of prepares these game plans every single night, and Micah will give us a snapshot of some of the keys the Wolves are focused on tonight. We'll, of course, hear from head coach Chris Finch, and then we'll hear from Anthony Edwards, too. He had some great stuff to say recently, just kind of about the team's mentality, and they do have their backs against the wall. If they lose, obviously, their season's over, but he shed some good light on how they're kind of approaching this, and they don't sound like a team. You were there, too, yesterday. They don't sound like a team that is feeling that pressure, per se.
They sound a little bit angry and frustrated.
Yeah, and maybe that's good, because they've responded all season. They've responded well after losses or in many skids. They've been able to bounce back quick.
All right, Cal, appreciate it very much. Keep up the great work. We'll be listening here in a matter of minutes for the pregame, the halftime, and the postgame.
Appreciate it, Mike. Anytime.
You bet. Hope we can do it next week sometime, right?
Agreed.
Yeah, Cal Soderquist, outstanding job on the Timberwolves Radio Network, and by extension, a piece of WCCO as well. We're about an hour away from tip-off here, Game 6 here at Target Center. It will be sold out. It will be really good. It will be really loud. The people continue to now, I would say, stream in. At one point in time, they were trickling in, but now it's a pretty steady stream here in the Skyway. And we alluded to this earlier, but one of the telltale signs that you didn't see always in Timberwolves history is almost exclusive Timberwolves merchandise that's being worn here to the playoff series. It's a Sam Mitchell throwback next to a D'Angelo Russell with a Kevin Garnett jersey. And, you know, there's an Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns. And, oh, boy, there's Tom Gugliotta. Those kinds of things are being seen here in the Skyway. And that usually tells you that your fan base is in concert with you and they've come to watch the hometown team, not the visiting team. Now, it's been an active day on the sports front across the board, of course. Minnesota Twins off to a tough start in Tampa. The Minnesota Vikings made that somewhat mysterious trade last night to get to number 32 and the number 34 pick. So today, the second round, the 34th pick overall, and what did they do with it? We'll tell you and we'll explain when we come back. It's a special edition of Sports for the Max from the Skyway Studio, taking you up to Timberwolves basketball. Stay with us. All right, closing in, Timberwolves, about 40 minutes away from tip-off, but a lot going on in the world of sports, including the NFL Draft Round 2. With the 34th pick overall in the second round, the Minnesota Vikings were set to select, another trade, Chris Tubbs, and they did it with another division rival.
Yeah, on the heels of trading with the Detroit Lions last night, the Vikings started out today by flipping their 34th pick, which is the second one in the second round, to the Green Bay Packers for 53 and 59. Couple in the third, or still a couple in the late second. So what the Vikings did there is, you know, trying to accumulate more picks. The Packers then with number 34 picked North Dakota State wide receiver Christian Watson.
Yeah.
Well, the Vikings then soon after that decided that they were going to make another move, but in this time they moved up.
Yep.
And they moved up to the number 42 spot.
Did they package the two second-round picks, or how'd they get up?
The Vikings traded the number 42 overall in the second round and their pick 122 in the fourth to the Indianapolis Colts, and they received number 53. I'm sorry, the Vikings received number
42. Vikings got 42.
Yeah, Vikings received
53.
They gave up 53, 77, and 192, so a second. Their third, their original third, and a 192. So in the
and they drafted from Clemson, Andrew Booth, right?
Yep. The quarterback, and that was somebody, Maxie, that you know, they had thought that maybe he could Now, he was a target for the Vikings. Some people wanted him at 12. You know, injury issues, the core issues, that was a little bit of a question and, you know, fell out of the first round. And Vikings felt that they could move back up and get value. So right now, yeah, the Vikings have made one pick. They are 7 picks away from making another one because they've still got 53 and they've got 59 coming up. And then they've got 66 as well. So they've got 3 coming up. That should be made within the next couple of hours.
But you better get a chart out here, flow charted, because who knows if they'll have them by the time they get there, the way Quasey's going with this thing.
Exactly. So it's, but they did trade with Indianapolis. I'm waiting for the trade with Chicago, because you got to make it the division trifecta.
Yeah. To get done with the Bears, this won't be a good draft. All right. So tonight it is Memphis. I went to their practice today, the Memphis Grizzlies. Coach Jenkins gets, you know, finalist for Coach of the Year, et cetera. And I asked him what I thought was a very pertinent question. I said, you've been behind by 26 points. You've been behind by 13 points in the second half. Does that create a confidence within your team as to whether or not you can come back or not? Here now, Coach Jenkins.
Comebacks mean a lot for confidence, though. You guys have done it twice in this series. What does that do for a team, man? Because you got to watch for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I've said it all season long, you're going to win a lot of different ways. You're going to win pretty, you're going to win ugly, you're going to win from ahead, you're going to win from behind. So obviously that's why I say this has been an intense series. You know, we've had to do a lot of different things to get 3 victories so far. To get the fourth victory, who knows what it's going to take. We've done a lot of different ways. So as long as we come out there and just try to give it our best effort from the start and play the full 48 minutes, our resiliency has been really good for us. Our swag and our spirit's been really good for us. That's carried us when our play hasn't been that great, to give us ourselves a chance. So who knows what it's going to be, you know, to get that fourth victory, hopefully. Just got to go out there and just find a way.
What does offensive rebounding mean to you? You guys have really controlled that category and got a lot of good second chances. How do you teach your new, where does this come from?
I think it's just guys playing to their strengths. I mean, obviously we have some, guidelines to how we want to attack, on the offensive end at the end of possessions, but it's just guys playing to their strength. Obviously their momentum plays for us. It's been a strength of ours all season long. I know it's an emphasis of theirs, to try to stop that. Hopefully we're making shots, so that's not a factor. So what do we got to do to win on the offensive end? What do we got to do to win on the defensive end? I mean, defensive rebounds can be a big key for us, knowing how lethal they are when they attack the glass too.
Okay, but this offensive rebounding thing, Coach, a lot of that has come from Brandon Clark and what he's done. He's been inserted in to play probably more than he anticipated because Jaren Jackson gets in foul trouble. We mentioned Steven Adams is in the protocol, but he hadn't played that much as well. Clark has been what you call an X factor. We asked him about the playing time that he's received playoff game to playoff game.
I got trust in the coaches, so... I got trust in the minutes that they give to the players that those guys are going to be able to go out and win. So whether that's me, Jaren, X, whatever, I'm down for whatever it takes.
How do you like this arena? What's it play like if you're visiting arena?
I like it here, I guess. It's here. It gets loud. It's just fun playing here. Their team is also very, very fun playing against. They got guys that are great. So it's just a really, really fun challenge playing here.
Is there a lot of talking going on right now in this series, or where is it at?
There's not really too much talking. I think we're all just so locked into, trying to win that we don't really want the talking to be, something that gets us kind of off of our game. So there hasn't been too much talking, as there has been in some other series that I've been watching. But, yeah, I think we're all just so locked into the game.
No, he's been locked in, and he's been very good for this team with putbacks. Jaren Jackson hasn't played as much as he'd like because of foul trouble, but he's been very good at times, and he's considered a key to this team and certainly a focal point of the Minnesota Timberwolves scouting reports. I asked him about his own scouting report for playing against Karl-Anthony Towns.
What's it been like to play against Towns in this series? Well, for you, and what problems has he presented? What's it like as the series evolved?
I mean, you see what he's like. Good player, can do multiple things. He's a big guy. That's important. Just makes it hard. He attracts a lot of attention, so we have to account for that a lot defensively. It doesn't take just one person. It takes everybody. But yeah, I've been playing against him a lot in my career and then a lot recently. So I'm just seeing all facets of his game. You get to see a lot of people's game when you play them multiple times. So good player.
When he shoots the three like that, has that changed over the years as you watched him? Because he loves to go outside now more?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's always shot it. But I mean, when he probably this year, he's probably been just shooting a lot more, gotten him more up last year too. But this year, it's just... I mean, you got a hand up, he's still shooting him. So credit to him. He works out hard.
For sure, I picked Jackson as my pick to click on the Memphis side, Patrick Beverly on the Timberwolves side. A lot of sweatshirts out here that says, I love Pat Bev. They've obviously put in a limited edition, but they've been hotcakes. I've seen several people wearing those tonight. Timberwolves in Memphis, we're at that juncture now where this is our last time to speak before we turn over to Cal Soderquist. Tubbsy, you started. Let's get a prediction for tonight's game and why.
I think the Wolves, I think thoroughly they've outplayed Memphis a good majority of this series. I'm going to go with the Wolves. I feel like the Wolves at home, you ride that momentum. And you take it to a game 7 Sunday afternoon.
Take your chances. And your key player to the game is?
I'm gonna go Jordan McLaughlin. I think he's going to get run.
Interesting, because I think he's going to get more clock tonight.
Yep, I do too.
All right, I'm going to take Beverly. I'm going to take the Timberwolves 109 to 102. There it is. We'll be back Sunday morning, Pete and Jerry and I, to break down that, the draft, and a whole lot more on the huddle. But up next, it is Game 6, and it is festive here at Target Center. The Timberwolves, the Memphis Grizzlies, an elimination game for the Wolves. Cal Soderquist and Alan Horton coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.